Look at Hebrews chapter 13 with me, if you will, please. Hebrews chapter 13. Might be easier to find James chapter 1 and back up a page. Hebrews chapter 13, we'll read verses 12 through 15 responsively, so please join me on the odd verses of Hebrews chapter number 13. I'll start in verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
Before I start, I want to say this. If for some reason you were working in other areas or whatever this morning, if you missed this morning's sermon, I beg you to listen to it when it goes online. I preached a sermon on the recipe for hope. It's something that everybody needs to hear. We live in a very hopeless generation, and I believe it's a truth that will help you. Here tonight, here in Hebrews chapter 13, are just a wonderful little truth that I want to teach you tonight. When Jesus was crucified, they did something that was quite unusual. The Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Then says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing the reproach. Now let me explain that to you. When Jesus was crucified, they did not crucify him inside the city walls of Jerusalem. They took him out back like you would an old dog. It was an act of shame. It was a way of demeaning Jesus. That's where the criminals, that's where the bad people died, because they weren't worthy to die within the city. And they literally took him, we would call it taking him out back, and so that they would be shamed by not even being able to die in town. Now, they were doing everything they could to discredit Jesus. The Bible says, look at verse 13 again. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp. Look at verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. The Bible says that we're to go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp. God says he wants us to leave the city and go outside the camp and suffer the shame and the demeaning that Jesus had to associate with Jesus, not the world. But then he says to offer the sacrifice of praise. That's an interesting statement. We don't look at praise as sacrifice. Now, think about this. We're talking about the crucifixion. Praise at a time like crucifixion? Yes. Praise at a time of hardship? Yes. Praise at a time when public shame is upon our Savior? I didn't say it, God did. These aren't my words, they're his. God said we're to go outside the camp with Jesus and offer a sacrifice, not an offering, a sacrifice of praise. The difference between an offering and a sacrifice is very great. An offering is something that is, you gave a tithe or an offering. A tithe is a required amount. An offering is a little above that. A sacrifice, look at me, a sacrifice is you give the best of what you have. You didn't give just any old lamb that walked through. You had to give the best one that you had. It couldn't have any scars or marks, couldn't be missing teeth. It couldn't be just any old one about ready to keel over. It had to be the best that you had. A sacrifice meant you gave the best that you had. And God says we're to offer the best praise we have at the hardest and worst of times. This is a praise that's going to cost you more than most will want to pay. But I'll tell you this, it's more valuable to God than anything you could ever do. My wife and I, yesterday afternoon, as we stepped inside room 131 over here at the hospice to see Miss Joan, and she went to heaven. I looked at my wife across the bed and I said, well, she's happy now. She's not hurting anymore. And I looked at my wife and I said, and my mama just got a hug, and so did Jesus. What was that? A sacrifice of praise. I wasn't happy she was gone, but I thank God for a real place called a real heaven. I thank God it's a place where we're sending our loved ones that are saved. I thank God that her suffering is over. Did I hurt? Oh, yes, I did. Was I sad? Of course. But I was not distraught. I knew where she was. And the peace of God was on her face. It's okay. You say, preacher, you're just cold. You don't have any feelings. Oh, you don't know me very well. I feel very deeply. But I don't let those feelings control what I do. I also believe there's principles that outweigh our feelings. My Bible says, who can trust their heart, it's desperately wicked. We're not to trust our feelings. But we are to trust in God and offer a sacrifice of praise. Let me say this. It's easy to praise God when everything's going good. It's easy to praise God when, oh, there's plenty in the bank, the bills are paid, and God's given you blessings, and it's real easy to praise God then, but when you got to reach up to scratch the belly of a snake, it's kind of hard to praise God. God wants us to go outside the camp where the persecution, the shame, and the attacks are, and praise him there. God wants us to go in the difficult times and praise him there. Yes, Brother Roloff, those of you that don't know who Lester Roloff was, he was about 5'7", weighed about 98 pounds with his pockets full of rocks, was a powerful preacher, but there was only one of him, and thank God there was only one. Brother Roloff was tough as nails, but he had a heart as big as anybody I ever knew. He ran children's homes and teen homes for troubled kids and teenagers. And I'm talking about the ones that were going to jail and court and being thrown in juvie and everything else for murder and drugs and rebellion. He would have hundreds and hundreds of them there in Corpus Christi, Texas. Then he began to open up the adult homes. But he wouldn't take a license from the state. He said, I got a driver's license, I got a pilot's license, and I don't need a license from y'all that messed him up, messed all these kids up. He said, you're not going to license God's work on God's people. Amen. He went to jail 3 times for not taking a state license from the state of Texas. They came and chained the door shut to his buildings 2 times. Brother Roloff was fiery. And he was just homespun country. He went off to Baylor University when it was a Baptist college, not now, but it was a Southern Baptist college, still is, but it's more liberal now than it was in the 1940s when he went, 1930s. Brother Roloff literally went to Baylor University with his milk cow and milked his cow to get through school. He paid room and board by milking and supplying 10 gallons of milk for the college every day. That's how he paid his way through college. He milked his way through college. You talk about country. Imagine going to your dorm room and what's outside. Well, there's old Bessie. She's out there bellering. Just as homespun as they got. And Brother Roloff, his pants could be on fire and he'd be happy. You couldn't get the guy down. And he had a statement that he used to use, and it was this. He'd talk about all the troubles and trials, and he'd say, when everything's going bad, praise God anyhow. Amen. Just praise God anyhow. I want you to know the depth of joy that comes from this sacrifice of praise. Yeah. There's a higher level of praise for our God. And I want you to learn to praise God anyhow. Let me give you a few thoughts tonight. Number one, how do you learn to praise God in the hard times? Begin by praising God for the good things. Begin by praising God for the good things. You know, I don't know how to say this. You're never going to praise God in the hard times if you won't praise Him in the good times. You'll never understand how to praise God during the hard time if you don't take time during the good times to do it. When's the last time you sat down and just took 60 seconds with a piece of paper and a pen and wrote down some of the things for which you could praise God for? And then take about 10 or 15 minutes and go through your list and start praising God for those things. I didn't say it had to be what happened that day, any time in your life. But learn to praise God for the good things. Folks, I don't ever want God's hand of blessing off of this church. But if God never blessed Grace Baptist Church again, He's blessed us far beyond whatever we deserve. I sat down with a man in my office today after church. This is their second time here. He sat in my office and he said, I can't believe this. I said, what? And he just broke down in tears. He said, I've been looking for this place and didn't even know what I was looking for till I found it.
Amen. That's good.
And they've got some troubles. He's got some problems. But he's going the right direction. And I was able to nurse it along a little and help him. But he kept saying, he said, God wants us here. This is what the Bible says. God wants us here because this is what it is. I said, I know. That's why I'm still here. Can I tell you something? Those days are easy to praise God. Wait till you get the phone call and somebody's fussing at you. Somebody knocked on their door and they didn't want somebody to give them a gospel tract. They probably live in Stonebridge or other places. But I get those calls. You say, what do you do, preacher? I thank God we're out making people mad even. Amen. At least we're out there doing something. Two pastors saw our people out when we had our first tract blitz. And our church people were out there going crazy, passing out gospel tracts. Two pastors said, maybe we ought to try this. No kidding. I'm thankful for that. You say, preacher, are you afraid? No, we got a head start on them, amen? It's all we're doing is obeying the Bible. If that gets them to an act of obedience, so be it. So learn to praise God for the good things. You say, well, what do we have to praise God for, preacher? Are you going home to a house or an apartment tonight? You got something to praise God for. If you're not going to a cardboard box, you're doing pretty good. How about when you get home, go to the kitchen and open the cupboards and the refrigerator? You got plenty to praise God for there because it's already there. As my father would say, don't laugh, it's paid for. Now, wait a second. Go to your room and open up the closet and look how many clothes you have. And you want to complain? Look around your house and see your family. Look on the walls of the pictures of those that don't live at home anymore, but you still have them. That's an awful lot to praise God for.
Yes, sir.
Look through your phone at the list of friends. I'm not talking about social media friends. I'm talking real friends. And thank God for your friends. The fact that you came in a vehicle tonight, thank God for it. Maybe before you go to work tomorrow, you ought to thank God for your job. Well, I don't like it, preacher, but you got one. Or two, or three. Maybe we ought to get ourselves into a habit of praising God for the good things. Maybe we ought to start thanking God. Maybe some of you ladies don't work. You could thank God your husband does, so that you don't have to. We need to get ourselves in a habit of praising God for the things we do have. I got out of my truck this morning and walked across, and I remembered when this was a wilderness. Where my truck is at right now, you couldn't park before. Good night. Plastic pots by the billions. We had a 13-yard dumpster packed as full as you could pack it with plastic planter pots. 70-some tires Brother Barnes and I collected and took to the dump. TVs thrown everywhere. There was so much junk, and then the poison, sumac, that was, three of our people went to the hospital over. It was bad. I got out of my truck at 5 after 5 this morning. I looked across this property and said, God, you're mighty good. We come a long way. I remember Brother Joe sitting in his tractor with the, trying to cut the grass that he could, it was up to the cab of the tractor. He hit more rocks because you didn't know there was rocks down there. We didn't know there were rocks down there. Man, this place is a wilderness. But look what God's done. So, start praising God for the good things. The little things. When's the last time you got to work on time and you praised God you got to work on time because there wasn't an accident holding you up for 3 hours? Or you drove by an accident that just happened and say, praise God, that wasn't me. Lord help them, but thank you that it wasn't me. I remember one day I was going back, I was at college, and I got held up by all people, Brother Phil Sally. I got called to his office. I was supposed to leave and go home for the weekend. It was a Friday. And they read my name off in chapel. I needed to go see Brother Sally. I wanted to run out of chapel and church ed, drive home. I was only going to be home for Saturday. I was going to drive almost till late into the night and then get home, be there Saturday and Sunday, drive all night Sunday night and get back Monday. I was a little angry because there was 3 or 4 guys ahead of me. And I wanted to get going. Finally met with Brother Sally, talked to him for a little bit. I got back out to my car and I took off. I got just east of I-65 on Route 30 and past Merrillville. Just as you leave Merrillville, you go into everything's flat out there, but you hit this one spot and it's just open land on both sides. And I got there and there was a huge accident. There was a tractor trailer that was going north-south, and there was a car that came this way and did not see the tractor trailer in time and went right underneath the trailer of that truck. And I was about the second or third vehicle there. There was just a little rise that took place, and it happened just as I was behind it, and the vehicles were still stopping when I came up over that rise. I said, oh, brother. I got out, jumped out. There was one guy ahead of me, and he ran over to the car, and he turned around and started barfing his guts out. He said, don't look in there. And the trucker's jumping out. He was scared to death and screaming and hollering. And I looked in, and the person who was driving had been decapitated, and the head was in the back seat. There was before cell phones were much popular, but somebody had one and called. I waited until the police got there, and I said, look, I didn't see it, but I was here. He said, well, if you didn't see anything, just give us your name. If we need any information, we'll call you. And I was able to get around it and go on. And I thought to myself, had I not got hung up with Brother Sally, that could have been me. Yes. I didn't fall asleep on that trip. It was sobering. But I thank God it wasn't me. I felt sorry for the person. I felt sorry for the truck driver. But at the same time, I was praising God it wasn't me. Number two, praise God for eternal things when the tough times come. Everybody listen to me for a second here. The Pentecostals and the Church of God got this thing mixed up. You break your arm and say, well, praise God I didn't break both of them. That's stupid. When I fell and crushed my heel, I didn't say, well, praise God I didn't break both of them. No. Now, I was thankful that's all that broke, but believe me, it's been enough. Yeah. God doesn't say be thankful and praise him for bad things. But he says offer that sacrifice of praise when the bad times come. What does that mean? You begin then to thank him for your salvation, for a home in heaven, your name written in glory. You got a mansion there. You're going to see your loved ones. You begin thanking him for the word of God and the principles of it and things that are eternal. God didn't say you had to thank him for the bad situation. We've got this thing mixed up. But you find things that are eternal. The sun's going to come up tomorrow. It's going to set tonight, whether you can see it or not. God says there's things that are going to happen that are eternal. They're always going to be there. And those are the things you grasp onto when everything is going bad. You don't have to praise him for the difficulty, but you can praise him. Get your eyes off the circumstances and look at the eternal things that you have. Am I happy Miss Joan is in heaven? I'm happy she's there. I'm not happy she's not here. She should be sitting right there. I'm not happy she's gone, but I'm happy for her. Her suffering's over. I don't get happy with people's problems, but I'm thankful and praise God for the fact that we've got the Word of God to help people through their problems. When's the last time when things are going bad, you just stopped and said, praise God anyhow, I'm saved. One of these days, Jesus is coming back or I'm going to kick off this planet and we're going to blow this popsicle stand. It's only temporary. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Guess what? We're just passing through. Why do we get so focused on what's here? We forget about how long eternity is. This is just a blip on the screen compared to eternity. Don't get so consumed with the circumstances you forget the eternal. By the way, this is a higher and more valuable praise to God. The kind of praise that will keep you from being bitter at God or somebody else is determined by whether you praise him for eternal things or only for what happens to you. We are so selfish even in our praise. When you can get your eyes off of your circumstances and look at the greatness of God and thank him for his greatness, then you're getting to a level of new Christianity. When's the last time you walked out and saw the sunrise and said, thank you, Jesus. You're mighty good God. And go out the next day and do the same thing. Or a sunset. Most of you have never seen the sunrise. It's too early. You wait for me to send you the picture of it, all right? Or wait for it to be on the calendar next year. You say, why do you do that, preacher? Because I can stand outside on that porch there and praise God for eternal things. I took a picture the other day. The sky was just as gold to me as it could be. I don't know what color it was, but to me it was gold. And I had this thought, Brother Steve. There's a song, "Some Golden Daybreak, Jesus Will Come." And it was so gold, I got to thinking, I wondered if God was just kind of shining a light through the streets of heaven to shine down on the sky that morning. It was just that brilliant. And I thought, God's given us a glimpse of what the pavement's like in heaven. I wanted to shout. Construction workers across the street might not like it, but I was going to have fun. Amen? God's not asking you to praise God for the bad things, but he wants you to praise God through the bad things. He's not asking you to thank him for the difficulty, but he wants you to praise him through the difficulty. Number three, praising in God in the difficult times does not mean God's going to remove the difficulty. We read in the scripture where the apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. It's called a mother-in-law. No. And he had this thorn in the flesh, and he said, I asked God three times to remove it, but he said no. God doesn't always take the difficulty away. Listen to this statement. God didn't take Calvary away from Jesus. We ought to be thankful. God doesn't always remove the difficulty. God didn't remove the difficulty, as I said this morning, from Job. But Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. See, what was that? Job was saying, praise God anyhow. God wants us to use the difficulty to grow and to strengthen ourselves so we can go out and help somebody else, and only he can get the praise for that. Go through the Bible, the greatest people in Scripture, and every one of them are great because of the greatness of the difficulty they faced. Moses, how'd you like to have to lead 3.5 to 5 million complaining Hebrews everywhere? Noah, how'd you like to build a boat? Take 120 years. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet tall. And you didn't have power tools or battery-operated tools. And the nearest body of water to float that thing was almost 1,000 miles away. Imagine what your neighbors thought. You talk about opposition. Then he had to take care of all the animals as God brought them. And had to gather the food for them. And on and on and on it goes. Joseph, his brother sold him into slavery. David, King Saul chasing him, faced Goliath, on and on. What about Abraham? What about Ruth? How about Esther? Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego? What about the 12 disciples? Do you realize one killed himself and the other 11 were martyred and killed for the cause of Christ? What about the Apostle Paul? He didn't have an easy go. We look at the great people in the Bible and think, well, they didn't have problems. Right. Why don't you read the Bible and see it for what it really is? Put yourself in their place. You'll find out your problems aren't quite as bad as you thought they were. And if you get through those problems, God can use you to help others like God's used them in Scripture to help us. Please don't take this the wrong way. I'm tired of people dying. But I'm glad I get to be there with people and their families when they are. I don't like it. It's hard on me. It's the part of my job I like the least, just so you know. But I love helping people. It's the calling of God on my life, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Amen. I tell folks that use hospice, I say, this is one of those places you hate to be, but you're glad it's here when you need it. It's a wonderful place. But may I say this, I hate what it's there for. Because I've been through it so many times, as we said this morning, that experience, I'm able to help others through the experience when they have to face it. And I've been there personally. Yeah. You see, God wants you to use your difficulty, not focus on your difficulty. The difficulty may eventually be something for which you can praise God for. Have you ever thought of that? That difficulty that's come your way may end up being the very thing that builds you to being the strength that what you need to be, and you can then thank God for that difficulty. Every day I wake up, my left hip hurts. I had a hip disease when I was a kid. I wore a stiff leg Toronto brace that weighed 10 pounds, never put weight on my left leg for 2 years. In the hospital for 3 weeks with traction. They put this brace on. They sent me down to physical therapy at Altman Hospital. And the people in physical therapy said, we've never seen one of these. There was only 20 cases of leg cavalopathies in 1976 when I contracted it. And I was one of the 20. Nobody knew what it was or how to fix it. And the doctors put this brace on my leg. And I had to learn to be able to walk up and down steps, walk in this thing as walking on a 2-inch square piece of rubber that hung off the instep of my left heel. That's all I walked with. Do me a favor, put the paper away. Sorry, it's bothering me at the moment. I'm not mad, I just... Now, listen to this very carefully here. I had physical therapists that looked at me and said, we don't know how to help you. But you can't leave here till you can walk and do normal things. So they got me up on the bars and I started walking. They said, let go, and I fell. 9 years old. And I'd get up and take 2 steps and fall on my face. I'd get up and take 3 steps and fall on my face. But I kept going. Then they did something they shouldn't have done. They gave me a set of stairs. Said, you got to figure out, we don't even know how to get you up and down the stairs. Well, normal situation, you put your bad foot up first and then follow with your good. You don't do that with a 10-pound brace because you don't have the ability to plant with it. So you have to plant on the bottom and you have to go up backwards from what you would normally would with pain. Going up, that was bad. Going down, that was worse. I don't know how many times they caught me and I fell down steps. But my dad will tell you, those PT nurses said, that boy taught himself how to walk. We didn't know what to tell him. But I was getting out of there. I didn't care what it took, I was getting out of there. It was at that hospital, while I laid there on my back, that two preachers from Canton Baptist Temple, Reverend Henniger and Bobby Johnson, came and visited a little 9-year-old boy in the hospital. That's back when you had pediatric wards. It was the room that I was in, it was about the size of this auditorium, and it had about a dozen or 15 or so beds in it. You didn't have individual rooms. It was just a giant room with a bunch of beds, and they pulled the curtains when they needed to, like in the old emergency rooms. Those two men came and talked to me for a few minutes and prayed with me and walked out. Lying on my back, I looked to God and I said, God, do you think one day I could do that to help somebody? Brother Kevin, I know I've made thousands of hours. Amen. I've gone to hospitals helping people. I don't know how many thousands and thousands of people my wife and I have helped that way. You say, why? Because two preachers walked in and loved on a little boy and encouraged him. And that was the beginning of the call of God on my life. I know it. I didn't know what it meant then, but I know that was the beginning of it. Every day that thing hurts. Praise God anyway. Wasn't for that, I'd have done something stupid, joined the military or played ball or something. If it wasn't the will of God, that's for sure. Amen. You know, it was the will of God when we left Bible college to go to California, and we fought a battle. And I mean, we fought. You have no idea what my poor little wife and I went through in 2 years in California. We got kicked in the teeth and everywhere else from the get-go. So that's not fair, preacher. No, but it sure did make us strong in what we believe. We didn't back down. God used all that. I'm not bitter over it. I'm thankful for it. I don't know how many assistant pastors I've helped because of having gone through that. This church. We're not what the world would call a big church, but I'll tell you this, we help an awful lot of churches. Help a lot of preachers. Influence a lot of people. God's still good even if the difficulty is not removed. God didn't take the pain in my hip away, but I can still walk. May not take it away, but it's there sometimes to remind you where you came from. You say, preacher, is it ever going to stop? Yeah, when you get to heaven. But until then, praise God anyhow. Is it always easy? No, because going outside the gate and you offer a sacrifice of praise, it's kind of hard. Deb and I jumped out of the truck yesterday afternoon, and I'd been at the hospice 3-4 times a day for over a week. We literally got out of the truck. I grabbed her hand, and we were walking across the parking lot. And I took a deep sigh and said, I hate coming to this place, but I'm glad we get to come. I didn't know that a few dozen steps later, the one we came to see was taking her flight. But I'm glad I kept going. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to suffer outside the camp with Jesus to offer a sacrifice of praise? Or are you just going to praise him when it's going good? Don't cheat yourself and don't cheat God. Let's offer God a sacrifice of praise. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I hope God gets some loving tonight. Hope God gets some extra attention this week. Maybe we shouldn't just complain about everything going wrong. Maybe we ought to take time to praise God while things aren't going well. Let's praise him for the good things, yes. But when the times are tough, maybe we'll take time to praise him.